Welcome to Hudson Valley Word of Mouth. I'm your host, Julia Jorn, and I live and work in Round Top in beautiful Greene County. Come along with me as I meander through the Hudson Valley, the Northern Catskills, the Capital Region, and beyond to interview the people behind the special spots and hidden gems that make our area of New York State and our collective community both distinct and diverse. You'll likely discover that you don't have to travel too far to pay them a visit. They may already be in your own backyard or just around the corner. And I'll bet their place might turn out to be that one certain destination you keep meaning to check out. So I'm here to remind you, put it on your list. Together we'll meet shop owners and small business owners, curators, designers, and artists, chefs, farmers, and culinary experts, and other creative entrepreneurs. We'll hear their own personal stories, learn about their unique offerings, and hit them up for their own local recommendations. Thanks for listening. Today, I'm just a few minutes outside of downtown Cairo to meet with Justin Wexler and Anna Plattner, the couple behind Wild Hudson Valley. Together, they steward 95 acres of diverse forest, meadow, and wetland. One of the main activities they do here at their place is offer guided tours and workshops where visitors can learn firsthand about innovative forest farming techniques as well as ancient indigenous land use practices. We're sitting here at a cute little picnic table right in front of a very beautiful pond, really buried here in the wilderness. So to start, do you want to talk about your backgrounds, what it was like growing up in the Hudson Valley, your education, on-the-ground training, and how that led to what you're doing here now?
Well, my name's Anna. I grew up in Greenville, New York. And the property that we're on right now has been in my family since before I was born. I grew up coming down here. And growing up, I always knew that I loved being outside and that I wanted to work in nature, but I wasn't really sure what that would look like. So I went to Cornell for my undergraduate. I got a degree in natural resources. And I studied applied ecology, looking at landscapes and ecosystems and how that balance is affected by different trees and animals. And I got really into the idea of forest farming. So utilizing existing forest or planting trees to create diverse agricultural systems that benefit both the planet and provide people with income. So I got really into that, but I didn't think that I would find much of an opportunity to pursue that as a career. It's a sort of a small growing field, but I got very lucky in that after I graduated, Bob Bifus, who's a local ginseng expert, took me on and started teaching me how to grow ginseng. And at that point, he was in the process of working with another woman, Eva Tsai, to start a ginseng farm. So for the last 8 years, I've managed that wild simulated ginseng farm. So ginseng is a understory herbaceous plant that grows in the wild here, but it has a very high commercial value as a medicinal plant. So we plant and grow ginseng in the woods. The way that it would grow in the wild, we just planted it ourselves. So I've been doing that for many years. And after I met Justin about 7, 8 years ago, we started farming here together, growing mushrooms and traditional crops. And it all started there and has grown a lot.
So I guess I'm the second half of the operation. My name's Justin. I grew up in Hudson, New York. From a very young age, I was just totally enamored by the natural world. And by the time I was 10 or 11 years old, it dawned on me that the people who know the most about our environment are the people who are native to it. And so that led to my lifelong, really obsession to try to understand what life was like in the Hudson Valley and in Eastern North America as a whole in the centuries before contact. So my academic background is in ethnohistory and specifically historical ethnoecology. I study how a group of people shape the landscape around them, how their practices completely change the ecosystem, and also vice versa, how the landscape shapes a culture, how it affects a people's belief system and their entire worldview and thought world. So I have been studying this really for 20 years. I started studying Eastern Algonquin languages when I was 15. It's not just armchair research. For listeners who don't know, the Hudson Valley was inhabited by people who spoke basically exclusively Algonquin languages for many centuries. Their communities today can be found in Ontario and Wisconsin and Oklahoma, but people come east and visit. So part of my work is going back into archives from 3-4 centuries ago, but also working with their contemporary communities in order to understand how their ancestors lived off of the land when they lived here in the Hudson Valley. Another big part of my job, and this is really where Wild Hudson Valley comes into it and my work with Anna. So in order to understand what life was like 500 years ago, I really try to, in little bits and pieces, live how someone would have lived back then. Now, I'm not saying that I'm running around in a breech clout with bear oil hunting every day.
Yeah, we don't live in a wigwam.
No, we don't live old school. But for many years, I've experimented with all different native plants and with growing techniques and acquiring rare native heirloom seeds in order to truly understand how things would have been grown. That goes beyond, you know, staple domestic native crops like corn, beans, and squash, and extends to a wide variety of medicinal plants. We've probably grown close to 200 species of native medicinal plants on this property. And when I say medicinal plants, it goes far above and beyond that, you know, more than medicine and food, but into fiber and dyes for dyeing clothing and 1,000 utilitarian uses. So basically, I love the culture and languages of Northeastern Native peoples, but I also really, really love our forest and field environment here. And the idea of walking through our woods and not knowing, not being able to read the story that every species, that every rock has to tell us, that's honestly makes me very anxious to think that. It actually is a big problem traveling because it takes many, many years to get to know your landscape and to get to know how all the different species are interconnected and the historic human relationship with those species. I've spent many years trying to learn this, and it's really a never-ending process, and there's always more to learn. And so what I'm doing along with Anna is applying these ideas. So, for example, traditional native agricultural techniques or growing a lot of fruits and herbs that have a lot of potential, but there's not really a big market for yet because people don't know about them. And working on making those available and into something viable that other people can grow. And we're not the only people doing this. There are other organizations growing a lot of these crops. But I think what makes what we're doing unique is the combination of exploring the indigenous history of these crops, working, you know, with their contemporary communities, but also side by side looking at modern techniques in agroforestry or forest farming.
So when visitors are invited to join you to take a tour of your property, it must be such a revelation for so many people.
Really, our central goal is education. We're not there to grow large quantities of anything. Everything we grow has a purpose, and it's to tell a story, and it's to teach people and hopefully encourage people, you know, through a better understanding of our history here and the environment here, to become a better steward of the Hudson Valley and of our planet. And I think that both Anna's teaching style and my teaching style allows for a lot of open communication. So when we're leading a group of people, I would like to think it's not so much that we're giving a lecture as that we are talking with people and learning about their experiences as well. And we get people from a wide variety of backgrounds. People who have barely been outside of an urban environment to people who grew up on a small dairy farm in Greene County. That's one of the best parts of this is that communication and learning from our students.
So generally throughout each year, we lead a number of farm tours, which includes going through our more intensively cultivated area where we grow corn, beans, squash, and we have trees and nut crops that we have in an alley cropping agroforestry system, but also going through the fields and the forest to see different crops that we're either wild stewarding or have planted ourselves or grown on logs, for example, shiitake mushrooms and other varieties of mushrooms. So it's sort of a whole property experience, and we talk a lot about the indigenous names and uses for plants that we come across along the way. Then we also have a whole variety of tours that can be more focused on a specific topic, like medicinal plants or edible plants or how to grow ginseng, how to inoculate shiitake mushrooms on logs, tree identification. So every month we try to have a diversity of different topics. And we don't just lead tours on our own property. This year we've led tours in New Paltz, Rhinebeck, Red Hook, Kingston, on the Rensselaer Plateau, on the Hudson River. We've been doing boat tours on the Solaris, a solar-powered boat through the Hudson River Maritime Museum. And Justin takes people out both at night and during the day on the Hudson and talks about the indigenous relationship with the Hudson River. We'll be all up and down the mid and upper Hudson Valley area teaching as well.
I saw that you recently started a CSA style of subscription boxes, and I would love to hear what the idea is behind those.
So, like Justin said, our primary focus at Wild Hudson Valley is really education. We wanted to create a way to share a diversity of different plants and mushrooms with people so that they can learn about them and their history and eat them and taste them, because it really brings everything together in a really rewarding way.
And I've heard you say every plant has a story to tell. And what I really enjoy about those boxes is all the information that actually comes with what you're receiving.
As part of my research, I started a database in 2006 of Hudson Valley indigenous names for plants. And that expanded into a larger ethnobotany database with basically a huge Excel file with different tabs for medicinal uses or food uses or dye or ritual uses, all connected to both my archival and ethnographic research. And we really, really love Algonquin plant names and all the different Algonquin languages because they're so descriptive of the plant and its uses. And one of our goals with this box is putting them out there, but along with, you know, the physical fruit or plant itself, so that people can really get to know the plant, smell it and taste it, make tea with it or cook with it, but also have the history along with it.
Each box has about 6 to 8 different ingredients each month, a combination of vegetables and herbs and mushrooms and fruit that changes with the season. So in the spring, you're going to get a lot more greens. That's when everything is coming up. All the nutritious greens are available and ramps. In the summer, you get things like heirloom summer squash that would have been grown here 500 years ago, squash blossoms, and more berries. And in the fall, there'll be a lot more storage crops, you know, winter squash, beans, corn, and a combination of the different wild mushrooms that you might find as the seasons go on as well.
We label every component in the box along with a scientific name.
It's such an incredible teaching tool, but also just so fun and yummy.
We love it. It's really fun. It's a little stressful because nature does not always, you know, produce things when we want it to.
No, but we want to provide everything as fresh as and quickly as possible, and it's once a month when we have a delivery day.
Our 4 pickup locations are Kitty's Market and Cafe in Hudson. We have Lake and Mountain Realty in Athens, the Tri-County Farmers Market in Freehold, and Primo Botanica, a chocolate company up in Troy. So those are our 4 locations, but next year hopefully we'll expand and have a few more.
Mm-hmm. That sounds great. Thank you for welcoming me here.
Thank
to
you
your
for having
beautiful
us.
Beautiful property. Thank you. I can't wait to take a tour.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for tuning in to Hudson Valley Word of Mouth. If you're interested in checking out an ongoing list of local recommendations, or if you have recommendations of your own to share, go to my Instagram at Roundtop Recommends or visit the Wave Farm website at wavefarm.org for the Hudson Valley Word of Mouth segment archives and how to reach me. Talk to you next time.